The title of today's talk is No or Yes, or Yes and No. It is very difficult to be knowledge and knowledge, have knowledge and knowledgeable about the unknown. But that hasn't stopped mankind from pretending all through history. Babies are trained from day one to mimic and mirror so they can be initiated into play, acting, being at least functional, if not intelligent human beings. We go to great lengths, but it started way back when there were just tribes and dinosaurs. We got along pretty well by mimicking and mirroring and pretending we knew what was going on. But then we moved into a more complex situation where language became written. And so then we had to contend with, let's say, education. Well, we've been merrily going along thinking we're educated. However, our education hasn't produced what we might call competence to know what's going on. We still live in a world of mystery, and we are now facing a population of over 7 billion people. And information is pouring out of 7 billion people at alarming rates. We used to have to wait for a week to get a newspaper across the country or that sort of thing. Then we went into radio and TV and that sort of thing. Everything got speeded up. But things got even quicker in research than we are able to keep up with. Every day you read an article that contradicts what we thought was going on last week. And they're discovering more and more things. They're using technology that we never had before that's uncovering information that leaves you spellbound and, let's say, jaw-dropped. It's just moving rapidly. And Bill Gates and among other people say that in 10 years we won't know one thing from another from this period of time. We will be moving so rapidly that we don't know what will come out in 10 years. So here we are. We're becoming obsolete because we can't keep up with what's being said. I was reading an article that was written 10 years ago. And the scientist was saying, 10 years ago, we didn't have the technology to know what I'm going to be saying today. Don't trust any technology 10 years old. So the information that we run on the surface of life, doesn't give us the reality of what's really going on in life. For instance, we don't know that inanimate objects are conscious. We don't, until very recently, think the plants were conscious. And they have their own music and their own language, and they respond to human consciousness. So, the problem is that we think we know, because what's the alternative? The alternative is to sit quietly more often. Gee, let me see, someone way back in the ancient times said something about that. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that God is. If we're on the move, biologically driven by the fight and flight instinct, we don't acknowledge God. We can't, because we are being motivated by fear and tension. So what we're experiencing is a non-benevolent world, a non, let's say, consciously created world. And we do not know what's driving us, except we pretend we do know. So what it is it's an ignorance that keeps us on the merry-go-round, on the wheel of thinking we know what we're doing and we should be doing, we could be doing, da 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 da. And all along, something else has been happening. It's like there's a divide in the ability to know what's really going on and what you think is going on. That's where the use, yes, no. You know, the most startling thing to a parent, I think, is after the parent has kind of conditioning the child to a very small vocabulary, and no is a major word in that vocabulary. Well-meaning parent saying no to the child when it's about to reach for hot something or to put something up its nose that shouldn't be up the nose. And being sprouting in the back of their nose. Yeah, okay. Has happened. This no word suddenly to a child begins to have powerful meaning. And at first, it reacts by crying, because its intention is being thwarted. And parents, pretty much when a little kid has any intention, applauds them. You know, you're going to crawl across the floor. Oh, yay, you're doing very good, you know. And then we hear a very sharp no. And the first time the child says no to a parent, they're shocked out of their wits. Because it usually comes with a very definitive, sharp no, because that's how it's been used on them. No. So, mimicking ignorant adults is our ignorant way of thinking we're getting educated. But our ignorant adults running through life like other adults, trying to bring the children into that society. So we don't really sit with the kids and explain that we don't know what's going on. Because that would sound frightening. It frightens us because we don't know what's going on. And we have an opportunity to stop pretending we do, because we're faced with a very new energetic right now, AI, artificial intelligence. And that artificial intelligence is like a big question mark. Where is it going? And because it's, in part, formulating itself. Even the creators of AI don't know where AI is going. So this seems to be an overripe time. Very overripe. For people to get still instead of being pushed. Get still and use the resources of the stillness and relaxation and open-heartedness. Are we going to be humans or are we going to be robots? Are we going to replace our brains with technology? That may look like a future adventure. It's already happening in certain ways. Blind people are being implanted with little technology that gives them sight. And they're being able to implant technology to be able to use prostheses like a regular arm or leg or whatever. Now that all sounds semi-benign, but now we have cars down in Phoenix. They are now running a large number of driverless Uber cars and taxis. So where are the jobs going? We are having more and more checkout without a clerk. So all those jobs that would have been, let's say, handled by people are going away. Taxi drivers, dog training, and everything is going to go in a different direction. We have things that are happening right under our noses that we don't pay attention to, because right now we're living in a small community. Well, in the larger communities, more technology is afoot, and more things are being given over, more jobs are being taken away from human activity to robotics. They believe that in 10 years' time, there'll be very few doctors, very few teachers. It will all be done with AI. But 10 years is a long time at the speed that we're developing technology. And we don't know when technology will be developing itself at a rate that we wouldn't even dream of. So the idea that we know what's going on is a fool's paradise. You can't know what 7 billion people are cooking up. You don't know what's going on in different laboratories around the world. You haven't got a clue as to how extensive it is, because the only thing that we get press-wise is what's been sanitized for the medium low-minded human, no matter how scientific we like to think we are, or how educated we think we are, or if we can even read and write. So this would seem, for someone who has some background in the idea of transcendence, that if the human brain, as it is organized right now, has been conditioned to limitation, that to get to a level of, let's say, guidance and decision making that comes from a higher level of competency, this would be the time to develop that connection, which seems that if you stop and really grapple with it, that going on merrily until you smack into the wall is really not the productive way to use your time. We are in a mega transforming transition. And we do have access to consciousness way beyond what we normally use. But it's not going to knock on your door. You're going to have to knock on its door. So using the skills and the tools of attuning to the frequencies of higher consciousness, more developed consciousness, are what we need to really get in touch with. And it can't be maybe so. Can't be, oh, when I have time. It can't be, oh, I'm doing my best. It has to be profoundly committed to, because we don't have a lot of time. Not right now, not the way it looks. We need to be conscientiously transmuting the biology of our body through sitting focusedly and quietly, open-heartedly, open-mindedly. Open-minded is very important. Open-hearted is very important. But being still and using the frequencies that are given by the Master are more important. Because we're not using those frequencies in and of ourselves. They are a gift. They're presently, let's say, been initiated, restarted by the initiation of the Master. It's a gift. You have it in, let's say, the other dimensions of your soul and spirit, but it wasn't active as you got born into a body. It receded into non-use and had to be reactivated by initiation. So, if it's a gift and it puts you in a position of being able to work towards that frequency of connection to those more refined levels of knowledge and direction. In particular, direction. Allowing yourself to be directed by the creation energy, the creator energy, the real doer, the doer behind all things. So, the idea that we should just putsy around and it's okay is getting very, very suspect. And you can't, it's not like it's a fearful thing. It's like the patience of giving unlimited feeling of time is a fallacy of the ego. So dreamland has to be overcome. And the idea that your ego is in charge of anything is dreamland. And we need to see it as that and just pet it and say, sweetheart, we're gonna sit and relax here and get open-hearted and joyful and quiet and stop, you know, this repertoire of insane human behavior that didn't know dit from dat. So maybe the word woe whoa, whoa, let's whoa, whoa down, whoa down, whoa down, slow down, get it straight, get it straight. I think that was the message I gave in 84, but okay. Probably very therapeutic. God said to me last night, Tuca, those love-tons won't work in bringing my arms near. Though I do find them amusing, and they are probably very therapeutic. Going beyond, we have to go beyond just what seems enough. It's not enough until it's enough, is it? A delirious gang of club-bearing ants surrounded an elephant's house and started shouting. You better watch out. I understand exactly what the elephant then thought. Scholars, you are lucky I am always in a good mood. Yes, indeed, you see. We're in a very precarious opportunity. And you either will or you won't really understand that time is not on your side. Time is not on the side of the human experiment. We absolutely need to seriously be present and centered and relaxed, no matter what's the mystery of what's coming. Why would you worry about the mystery if you can simply relax, use joy, use lovingness, use open-heartedness, use open-mindedness, and focus and stillness to deal with the unknown? Does running around like a chicken with its head cut off? Has anybody ever seen a chicken with the head cut off? Well, it runs around in circles and circles and circles. And then it runs out of energy and it drops. But that's where we really are. We're running around like we had our heads cut off and didn't have any better sense. The energy to do, the willfulness to override the experiences that have showed you that you are not the doer is like a chicken with its head running off, running around. Where did you put that? Where does that information go? Why isn't that information cherished? It's because we're used to being uptight and tense and reactional. We're biological bodies with an infinite soul. And we keep shutting down the frequency of connection. It's doing what it does. We're doing what the ego does. Mentally. But we're being forced to keep doing it until we get clear that that's not the way to go. The whole idea is to learn that we can't do it the old way, the biological way. We have to do it on spirit's terms, to acknowledge the spirit within, to acknowledge the spirit all around, to acknowledge the creator as the only doer. So you can say it simplistically, but can you do it? And until you can do it, you're the victim of your ignorance as an ego. Just is. So to clear a pathway towards receptivity to the guidance of the soul, to the guidance of master power and God power. Simple little steps, simple tools, ignored over and over and over again, because we're all hypnotized from day one to be related to the body ego. And undoing that is no small trick. Undoing it is no small trick. It needs dedication and clarity of what you're about and what you need to do. So, the good news is you have the tools. The good news is you have the boost. The good news is the frequency is active in you, but you have to be willing to connect. And you can't connect if you're running around being an egomaniac. It's phenomenal that we don't get it, but we don't. We don't get it. But we don't have time to be wasting now. We never did, but we do. But it's getting critical, more critical. So, my dears, prayer and commitment. Prayer and commitment. Prayer and commitment. Pray to be willing to use the tools consciously. All day, every day. And that doesn't mean you only sit. It means that if you're doing something, you're also saying Simran and remembering that the doer is God and you're making room for God. You're making room for spirit. You're driving the car sideways so that the real driver is God power. And that's going to be easier because if cars are automatically being driven. I think something like 6% of the cars, Uber cars, are have no drivers. They come and pick you up without a driver. And it's going to get faster and more, faster and more, faster and more, faster and more. Planes will be flown without pilots. And wars fought without conscience. So, wake up call, wake up time. And it can either make you miserable because you listen to your ego, or it can be a joyful journey because you are headed for the connection to the spirit. Take your choice.